Well, that was contentious. Let's hope for a little calm now, a little zen-like peace. It's Vox Pop. It's a shortened edition. We've heard a press conference, reporters asking questions, the governor, the governor answering them to some extent. Darren Tracy joins us today. Home maintenance, repair, and improvement is the topic. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with experience in construction, renovation, and property management. Darren is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm. He's a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. So if anybody's listening and has a question about home maintenance, repair, and improvement, this is the time to call because Darren Tracy is here. 800-348, he will not yell at you, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Darren Tracy, are you there, sir?
I am here, Ray.
Welcome to the program. I apologize that it has been truncated to some extent, but here we are to talk about home maintenance and repair. How are you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about pipes. Hot water pipes, if you have a boiler, and your pipes sing, they have a little high-pitched whine, and I know houses where this has gone on years and there's never been a problem. What's exactly going on there?
What comes to mind, Ray, is that when the pipes heat up, they expand.
Yeah.
And if they're next to a floor or some other surface, they're rubbing that surface, so you hear that vibration.
Okay. It doesn't seem to have been a problem in the houses that I've seen. They're older, usually, where this happens, and they say, oh, yeah, this has been going on for years. Nothing major. Hey, you're in the running for a big award, huh?
No, not in the running. We actually received an award, the house that we worked on in Glens Falls, the 1870s tiny house.
Oh.
We were one of the 2020 Preservation League award winners for historic excellence in historic preservation.
Oh, that's tremendous. So cash award?
Yeah, that's funny.
No, okay, fair enough.
No, but we're honored just to be recognized.
All right, that's cool. Well, that is great news. Congratulations, Darren Tracy. The phone lines, surprisingly, are loading up. So why don't we go to the calls? 800-348-2551 is our number. It's home maintenance, repair, and improvement today. Darren Tracy joins us. Doug in Saratoga Lake. Doug, you're on.
Hey, Ray and guy and guest. Thank you for taking the first call.
You bet.
It might be a little fair to ask you this. It might be more of a plumber's question. Got a basic Utica boiler. And the question comes up whether to maybe add antifreeze to the solution to avoid a possible freeze-up if the power went off, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, my opinion on that, Doug, is that if your pipes are in an area where they might freeze, for instance, they might go out to a garage area or in an exterior wall, then I would add the antifreeze. But I would not add the antifreeze just if you're trying to avoid a power outage, because the likelihood of that being delayed or an extensive power outage that would affect your boiler and your heating system for a long time, those odds are pretty small.
Because reason I called is simply I've heard both arguments, and I did have a boiler and an income once property with standing radiators and all, and the tenants left, it froze, the temperatures went way down. Power was off for like 2.5 days, and it did not freeze up because I had put antifreeze in the system.
Interesting.
Anyway.
That's really interesting.
All right. But there is a drawback to the antifreeze. I think it can be corrosive to the heat exchanger in the boiler to a certain extent.
I have heard that.
So that is a drawback. Yeah, that is a drawback.
Pros and cons.
That's good.
Correct. Okay, guys.
Hey, thanks, Doug. We appreciate it. Well, this brings another question, Darren. How does one make sure, or at least do the best they can to avoid pipes freezing? Let's say we're in that situation where the pipes are coming in. They're against a cement wall. They're against an outside wall. It gets very cold in the room. Ordinarily, 10, 20 degrees, not an issue. But if the temperature plummets, what is the best way to preserve that water line from freezing?
That's a good question, Ray. And we undertake a couple of actions to minimize that. One, if you're really in some cold weather territory below zero, we have some rental properties, and we advise our tenants to drip the water, both hot and cold, like two or three, four drips a minute. Yeah. Not a lot, but some, just to keep the water moving through the pipes. And that's really helpful if you remember to do that. Also, often pipes are run near the exterior wall of the house in the basement.
Yeah.
So you want to get yourself in the basement, take a look at those pipes that are near the exterior wall, and don't insulate the pipe itself, because you're insulating the pipe from the ambient temperature in the basement, but insulate the backside of the pipe where it's adjacent to the exterior wall. You want to insulate the exterior wall so that cold air is not blowing in from the exterior wall.
Very interesting.
Again, just insulating the pipe itself is often a mistake, because it isolates the pipe from the warmer basement. Assuming that you have a boiler in the basement typically is above freezing temperature. So,
okay.
Those are a couple of pointers.
All right, this email came in from Steve. Steve writes, I have an old home. Windows have old aluminum storms. I'd like to put hard plexiglass in addition to for winter. Better to install on the inside of the house or outside over the window for optimum cold prevention?
I'm not sure about that. I've thought about that. Storm windows are typically historically installed on the exterior of the home, so that works. The problem with storm windows on the exterior is just access to the window, particularly if you have a two-story or three-story home. Hmm. Whereas on the inside of a house, access is handy. So, again, that's 6-1, half a dozen the other. I would try the interior if you have a two-story or more house.
We are joined today by Darren Tracy. We talk home maintenance, repair, and improvement on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Susan is in Millbrook. Hello, Susan.
Hi. I have a question. We put an addition on about 10 years ago, and we've had one problem after another. The latest is that our granite countertop, there's some kind of shifting going on with the foundation, but our granite countertop is separating at the seams. Now it is about a little more than probably 5/8 of an inch. And I'm wondering if I should fill it with silicone or what to do.
Susan, you could do that, but if you have a 5/8 inch gap and there was no gap there before, you got some serious settlement problems going on with your foundation. So I would first look to that, since that would be the root cause of your problem.
Hmm. So that becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. There's definitely settlement cracking, and I think you could probably use it as a putting green.
I laugh because I'm right with you, Susan. I know what you're talking about.
So what kind of person does one call for that? You know, we had an architect, a fancy architect that designed this, and a bit of a gangster contractor.
Nice. No names,
please.
So
we've been dealing with one problem after another over the years. So I'm sort of very skeptical of who to call, what kind of person to call to address the settlement. Hmm.
If you have a foundation problem, the person to call would be a licensed professional engineer, someone like myself, or if you have a really competent contractor, they could take a look at that too and possibly help you out.
Susan, thanks a lot for the call and good luck. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Darren Tracy is our guest today. We got a late start, but we are rolling now. Dave in Ghent. Dave, you're on.
What are the problems with soft water or high alkalinity on plumbing pipes?
I'm not sure that there's that much of a problem with soft water. I think it's more of a hard water. And the problem is that there are chemical reactions between the minerals in the water and the pipe. And that's one reason why you'd want to soften your water. if you had hard water days.
So, but our water is very soft, and you know how it feels when you come out of the shower. I wanted to remedy that, but I didn't want to make it too hard.
Yeah.
Typically, it's, as I mentioned, it's more of a problem with water being hard, not too soft. Okay. And for the listeners that may not be familiar with the difference between hard water and soft water, if you have hard water, it's really difficult to create soap in the shower when you're sudsing up.
Yeah.
If you have a softer water or add a water softener to your water system, it's relatively easy to make some sudsy water when you're in the shower.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. We'll take one more here, then we'll take a quick break. Darren Tracy is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Chris in Housatonic. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, Tracy, I got a question for you. Would it be better if someone cleaned your power brush your house, a professional to do, or can you do it by yourself?
Well, you can sure do it by yourself, Chris. And you've got to take into consideration the height of the house. If it's more than a one-story building, then you might have to get up on a ladder. And if you're not comfortable with a ladder, you might want to leave that to a professional. But there's no reason that you couldn't pressure wash your home yourself.
I just got one more quick question for you, Tracy.
Darren.
Someone told me it's very hard. Someone told me you can paint over vinyl, and I said, I've never heard of that before. Is that true?
You can paint over vinyl, but the adhesion is a problem. You'd have to prime the vinyl, and even with a good prime job, it's difficult to have latex paint bond to vinyl siding.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. We're joined today by Darren Tracy, not Tracy Tracy. Tracy, it's like Duran. It didn't work. It was a thing he did in the 80s. 800-348-2551 is the number for Darren Tracy, and we'll be back in a moment. Fox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy joins us today. It's home maintenance, repair, and improvement. And Darren, this email came in from regular correspondent Chris in Cornwall on Hudson, and it dovetails with our question about water softeners. And he writes, what do you think about the efficacy of electric impulse water softeners to keep our very hard well water from creating scale on our fixtures and pipes? The one I'm considering supposedly uses a frequency field to change the calcium hydrogen carbonate into calcium carbonate, which, as advertised, is electrically and chemically neutral in water. And that's from Chris in Cornwall on Hudson.
Oh, I'm going to have to defer on that, Ray. I'm not familiar with that type of water softening, but you know, the chemistry concept sounds plausible, but I'll have to defer on that.
All right, well, maybe one of these days we'll have a look at that information and have an answer for Chris, but thank you for that email. The number here is 800-348-2551, and we go to Matamoras, Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on.
What's the best way to remove moss and lichens from asphalt shingle roof and gravestones without damaging the roofs?
Did you say gravestones?
Yeah, the stones.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Darren.
Yeah, you could try pressure washing. There was just a call about pressure washing. And just take care not to be too aggressive. Don't stay in one spot too long. Use a wider angle. Pressure washer nozzles. Pressure washer nozzles come in a variety of angles from basically a 0 degree, which really can etch into your substrate. And progressing up to a wider angle, that's less aggressive. Also, there are chemicals, mildecides, that you can apply to the shingles too, but that would also have a tendency to run off and affect your environment in that area too. So I would use caution
if you want that route.
Jim, thanks a lot. 800-348-2551, the number. If you have a question for Darren Tracy today, let's go to Sarah in Stockbridge. Sarah.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yes, I was looking to add a shower on a second floor bathroom where there's only a big old clawfoot tub right now. And the ceiling under it is coffered, and therefore, if we did a trap directly under the shower drain, it would show in the, it would penetrate into the exposed, beautiful ceiling. The plumber said that we couldn't move that trap over into the adjacent wall. Isn't there a distance you can go from a drain before you get to a trap? I think Massachusetts is on IRC 2015.
Yeah, there is a distance, and I can't quote that off the top of my head, but there is a distance. If you want to contact me after the show by sending me an email, I can verify that distance for you, Sarah.
That's great. Thanks.
Hey, while we're at it, Darren, what is your email?
It's Darren@westbranchinc.com. And, oh, I'd like to take this opportunity to mention that I finally uploaded a video about how to finish a basement slab in an old house that has a dirt floor. Somebody had asked me about that in the past.
Yeah.
I had mentioned that it was on my website. I double checked and it wasn't on my website. So I uploaded that. So if you look in my Facebook page, which is West Branch Engineering and Consulting, there is a video on that about how to install a concrete slab in the basement. And if you're not on Facebook, you can go to YouTube and search YouTube for that video as well. And that's, I think it's called Installing a Concrete Slab in an Old House on a Dirt Floor.
Huh.
If you Google search YouTube, that'll come up. I'd also like to mention one more thing, Ray,
yeah.
And that is it's a time of the year to check your smoke detectors, check
right.
the batteries to make sure that they're not flat. It's really important. And also, if anyone burns wood, to have your chimney cleaned at least once a year.
Yes.
It's really important.
Yep.
We actually had a chimney fire in our home, our stovepipe last year. And also, if you're going to use a space heater, do not use an extension cord, because an extension cord might be a lighter gauge than the breaker.
Yeah,
protecting that line. So just take those safety precautions because it's that time of year.
You know, you make a great point about the chimneys, and we just had our chimney swept. And one thing that amazes me, I'm not sure this is true about chimney stoves and stove pipes, but the chimney sweeps every year, they say, you know what? Use a creosote cleaning log every once in a while. And so those things actually work. Every chimney sweep I've talked to says they work.
I'm not familiar with their, I'll use the term that you used, efficacy, but I would defer to them since they're professionals. But
you
really,
you sound skeptical.
Can build up. Well, no, I'm not skeptical, but it's no substitute for checking your stovepipe more than once a year, at least once a year, and preferably more than once a year, because it's really scary to have a fire in your stovepipe.
No, I could not agree with you more. But what I just said is that, you know, every once in a while at the end of your fire, pop one of those in, and it can't hurt. I mean, most of the chimney sweeps I've talked to said they're pretty good.
Well, since we're on that subject, I know that the one preventative measure is to, when you have a big wood fire, you start that fire up, you want to run a hot fire. If your temperature gauge is positioned about 18 inches above your stove on the stovepipe, you want to run that up to 300 to 500 degrees for a little while, and that tends to burn any of the loose creosote out of the pipe.
Yeah,
I know. In the past, I've been somewhat reluctant to run the fire too hot, thinking, I don't want to hurt the stovepipe. But that's false thinking, because what you want to do is you want to burn that loose creosote off, and so it doesn't build up in your stovepipe.
Darren Tracy is our guest. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Joan, you're in Albany. You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Sure thing.
Okay. Thanks. My question regards winterizing. For the first time, I'm going to go away for the winter and be gone for about 4 months, and I'm nervous about how to leave things in a good way, particularly because, I heard you say something about dripping water from the pipes. I want to make sure they don't freeze. I have one pipe that may or may not be a freezing problem. It has to do with the toilet that stops up in the wintertime and doesn't do so in that much really in the fall or in the summer. It happens in the winter and it kind of can extend into spring. Now, I've been told two theories, though, about it, that it could have to do with roots or branches or something growing into the pipes, but that be pretty obvious? Go for it.
Okay, Joan. That sounds like you have a concern with your drain line, your drainage line, versus your potable water supply lines. And I'm thinking that because it drains more poorly in the winter or spring, that has more to do with the percolation of your soil. I'm assuming that you have your own residential wastewater treatment system versus a municipal system. Is that correct?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, but
Do you have a septic system? No, it's a city.
You know, I live in the Gilderland, right near the city of Albany.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that would drain more slowly in the spring or the winter. Maybe your drain pipe is near an exterior wall and can tend to freeze up additional layers of the water freezing over time, cold with extended cold temperatures. So if you're going away, a couple of things. I wouldn't drip the water for 4 months. I mean, that's going over the top. Too much of a waste of resources. But what you can do is leave your base cabinet doors open in your kitchen and any place where you have water, bathroom, sink vanity, leave your cabinet doors open. And also...
under the sinks.
Under the sink. And you want to keep the temperature in your house up to, I would say, 58 anyways. I really wouldn't shut it down any lower than that, 60. I know it's people trying to save money because, costs money to heat a home. But, in these cold climates, it can be a problem. I have one other suggestion, too, and that is if you have Wi-Fi and you're computer savvy, you could get a thermostat, a wall-mounted thermostat made by Honeywell or there are other manufacturers. And as long as you have an internet connection, it will tie into your internet so you can remotely check the temperature of your house at any time. It actually can set it up to send you an alert if the temperature drops below a certain set point, and that's really handy. They're not that expensive, and you can actually adjust your temperatures. Watch the weather if you're having a really cold spell below zero. If you're leave your thermostat to 58 degrees at home, you might want to bump that up a couple degrees, and you can do that remotely. It's really a sweet tool.
Joan, thanks a lot for the call. Darren Tracy is our guest. 800-348-2551, the number on Vox Pop. Marilyn in Coleraine. Marilyn, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I just had a piece of information for the gentleman who called in about using plexiglass as his interior stone windows as opposed to putting them on the outside of his house. And several years ago, I purchased interior stone windows from a company called Indos, because I couldn't climb on the ladder anymore to put up my stone windows.
Mm.
And they are great. They have a gasket around the plexiglass, and then you just tuck them into place. They seal it nicely, and you pull them out in the spring.
Genius. Now, what's the brand?
Indos.
Huh, you ever hear of that, Darren?
Windows, take off the W.
Yeah, I have not heard of that, but I'm interested. Do you get a condensation problem, Marilyn?
No, I have not.
Okay, great.
And I have single pane windows.
Hear. Yeah, that's a very cool thing. Thank you very much for the call. And now to Cooperstown. Judy, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I live in a house with a 52-foot well, and it's always been full of water and all that. But, and I've had a deep pump put in the ground replaced, because I've lived here for 27 years. And so that's been replaced. And then the water pump on the inside has been replaced about the 25th year of living here. And the house was built in the 81.
Yeah.
So the water pressure doesn't seem to be good enough. I had a carpenter here in this summer. He said, boy, your water pressure is terrible. And so you can't take a shower and run the kitchen sink at the same time. What should I check? How do I address this problem?
Okay, if you have a deep well pump, if you have a deep well pump, the pump is out in your well, and it's a pencil-shaped item, and it goes down into the pipe, down to towards the bottom of the well, and then pushes the water into your home. So you would not need a second pump in your home. So I'm not sure what you were referring to when you had a second pump in your home. What you would have in your home is a storage tank, a water storage tank. And part of the plumbing associated with that water storage tank would be a pressure switch. And that turns your well pump on and off based upon set points on the pressure switch. Typically, they come in two sizes, 30-50. So that's 30 PSI, 50 PSI. The well will turn on when the pressure in your pipes drops to 30 pounds per square inch. And the well, the pump, will continue pumping until the pressure in your pipes reaches 50 PSI, and then it will shut off. Now, you can bump that up to 40-60, so the minimum pressure is 40 PSI and the maximum is 60. That's the first thing that I would do.
Okay, and can I see that myself?
You can probably do that. If you're a handyman, you can do that yourself. It's a little gray box about 2.5 inches by 3.5 inches, and it has a cover and a nut on top of it. You turn the nut counterclockwise, and the plastic cover comes off, and there are instructions on the inside. It tells you which way to turn the set screws and the springs. So you could try that. Yeah, and then if you have a problem after that, then call back on the next show because you've got problems with your pipes.
Okay, well, Judy, thank you. And Darren, thank you. We have a few minutes left here. Let's grab at least one more. We go to Norm in Queensbury. Norm, you're on.
Hi. I have a house built in 78, and I heard somebody talk about their foundations before. We got some cracking going on the foundations. It's been going on kind of slowly, you know, over the years here and there. And I'm wondering, we got a lot of chipmunks around here, and I know they have underground caverns or whatever, you know, houses. And would their excavations be contributing to possible, you know, problems with the settling down of the foundation walls unevenly or what? How do you get rid of that? Can you pump mud in there and fill those excavations?
Probably not is a short answer, Norm. They could create some voids around the foundation wall. I would be surprised if they dug down 6 or 8 feet and got below your footing and hollowed out a section large enough to affect your foundation.
I'm not sure how deep they are, yeah.
Yeah. And you have soil pressure and water pressure pushing up against your foundation wall, regardless if the critters are there. So I would say that's probably the cause of any shifting in your foundation.
Yeah, it's a cement block foundation. You know, the cracks seem to be going kind of like in between the blocks.
Yeah, unless the blocks were filled, the cores of the blocks were filled with grout, they have a tendency to,
I don't know,
to fail over time if it's in a an area where there's clay soil or a high water table.
There's a lot of sand here.
To that. A lot of sand. Well, that's good because then the water will go clear down through and not hang around the foundation, so you don't have as much hydrostatic pressure, but you still do have the soil pressure. So I doubt it's the critters.
So,
All right.
It's uneven settling, you think, huh? Something like that. Frost heaving or whatever.
Not so much the foundation settling. It's the soil pressure pushing in laterally and the water pressure pushing in laterally that applies the force to your concrete block wall. If you want to contact me, send me an email after. I can send you some literature about that. Mention a couple of options that are a little bit on the longer side to explain.
Okay.
All right. Well, Norm, thank you very much. All right, Darren, we only have about 30 seconds here. So once again, how do people contact you via email?
Darren at westbranchinc.com, D-A-R-R-E-N at W-E-S-T-B-R-A-N-C-H-I-N-C.com. You can look at my Facebook page, which is search West Branch Engineering and Consulting. I do have a website, West Branch Inc. I don't use that as much anymore because it's just easier to social media. Mm-hmm. And I do have a couple of videos on YouTube, too.
Cool.
So, well, any of those ways.
Hey, man, thank you for being here, and thanks for hanging around while the governor's press conference went on for quite a while. And we'll talk to you hopefully for a full hour next time. Darren Tracy, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Support comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 20 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. Sinopoly Insurance Agency in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering financial products including life insurance and annuities. Information available at 413-528-1710. At Mother Earth Storehouse, open 7 days, working to help keep our communities safe and supplied with EDC goods and services, serving the Hudson Valley with organic and all-natural foods since 1978, MotherEarthStorehouse.com. Well, that's it. Thanks again to Darren Tracy for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Apologies if you were left on the line. Darren will be back again in short order. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, our producers, Jackie Orchard. Your phone's answered by Matthew Plummer today. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we go digging in the dirt. It's the gardening show tomorrow at 2 p.m. Right now, stand by for 51%.